And we don't necessarily make honey, or we don't necessarily process honey, but we sell honey. And so Jason, he's the one that takes care of those things. So he responded to the email and gave him a price. And the fellow said, "That's fine." And we sort of raised our eyebrows, a whole truckload of honey. And so we sort of got into the process, and he agreed with the price. And so now we had to find somebody that would provide us with a whole tractor trailer load of honey, probably over $100,000 worth of honey. And I'm not exactly sure what happened, but somehow Jason got just a little suspicious. And he started looking at this letter. The letterhead and everything, it looked so authentic, like it was a real thing. So finally he decided, you know what? I'm going to call Kroger's headquarters and ask them, did you actually place an order for honey for Kroger's? And so that's what he did. He called the Kroger's headquarters and gave him the information, and Kroger said, "We don't know anything about this." It was a scam. It would have put us out of $100,000 or more. Somehow they had a trick up their sleeve, and they were going to try to get our money. But that letter looked legit. Now, I don't know. Probably we have learned since that you also look at the email, where it's come from and how this is all done. And everything, that sometimes tells you a few things. But I tell you what, Jason tried that letter. Was it legit or not? And you know what? He went straight to the headquarters. And we can go straight to the headquarters today. Amen? We can take this to God, and we can look into His Word, the Holy Word of God, which is truth, and it will tell us if this is right or wrong. That's what we need to do. And that's the advice that a lot of people are giving today is when you get something like says your bank is wanting your account number or whatever, call the bank, go to the headquarters. Or some other company. Just go to the headquarters. And I believe, my friends, that if we go to the headquarters of God Almighty, He will help us through these things. And I just love some of these scriptures. In John 10, verse 28, he says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." My friends, we have a heavenly Father, and we have Jesus, and we have the Holy Spirit, and we have the Word, and we have the church that will help us discern the times in the days we live in, and will help us to know how to navigate all these things that are happening today. Praise God for that. God is so much greater than any of these scams. The God is so much greater than any of these spirits. And this Word of God is nothing but truth. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but this Word will never pass away. When we get back to the Word of God, it will actually tell us and it will show us what is right and what is wrong. In John 17:17, he says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth." Praise God. And that's what these scammers, that's what these deceiving spirits operate on, is on lies, on untruth. But when we stay with the truth, what a blessing. That word, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." That word to try means to test, to discern, and to examine. In 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verse 1, it tells us, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, Seducing means to lure away, to attract someone from proper behavior or thinking. That's the work of these of the demons. And the work of the evil spirits is to try to get us to not think the way we ought to. From proper behavior or thinking. Many shall come in my name, Matthew 24:5, in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Probably some of you older ones, I don't know, would have you remembered or not. I think this was in Indiana, where this fella claimed he was Christ, and he had a big white chair, walked around in robes, and claimed that he was Jesus or Christ. And he got somewhat of a following. And it's interesting, this thing, he goes on to say in verse 2, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. It's interesting, that thing, this thing of Antichrist, we immediately think of Revelations, don't we? But the as I understand it, where you read about the Antichrist is in 1 John. And he says he's already here. Anything that's against Christ. And we could spend some time looking at some of these religions, and I will just briefly touch them. But I think we're probably not as much affected with this as some other aspects, and we'd like to look at that. But the Jehovah's Witnesses, do you know what they think about Jesus? They say Jesus is not God. Before he lived on earth, he was Michael, the archangel. Jehovah made the universe through him. On earth, he was a man who lived a perfect life. After dying on a stake, not a cross, he was resurrected as a spirit. His body was destroyed. Jesus is not coming again. He returned invisibly in 1914 in spirit. Very soon he and the angels will destroy all the non-Jehovah's Witnesses. The Mormons, they say Jesus is a separate God from the Father. He was created as a spirit child by the Father and Mother in heaven, and is the elder brother of all men in spirit. He was born of Elohim and Mary. Jesus was married. His death on the cross does not provide full atonement for sin, but does provide everyone with resurrection. Just a twisted gospel. And we could go on and on with some of these things. You take like the New Age, Islam. Jesus is not the one true God. He is not a savior, the New Agers say. Islam says, he's one of the most respected of over 124,000 prophets sent by Allah. Jesus is not God, and God is not Jesus. He was not crucified. Jesus, not Muhammad, will return for a special role before the future judgment day, perhaps turning Christians to Islam. You see, the devil. Here is the answer to mankind. Is this Jesus Christ? And is there any reason why he is all out to destroy Jesus and the belief in him? Jesus said that, he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. He said, out of my body will flow rivers, out of your body will flow rivers of living water. He talked to the woman at the well. He stood up at the feast and gave that invitation. It's through this Jesus that true life is really found. It's through this Jesus that true forgiveness of sins are to be had. It's through Jesus that we have a hope of eternal life. But there are many religions that will not accept this Jesus. We've been working with an individual there in our community. And he's struggled and struggled. He believes in God, but he can't believe in Jesus. Just it's so hot, difficult. But unless we believe in Jesus, it is very difficult. And so, but now I'd just like to notice a few scriptures here before chapter 4 in 1 John 3, verse 23. somewhat in the context, I believe. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. This Jesus is our answer for everything. And then he says, and love one another as he gave us commandment. He that keepeth his commandment dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. And that is talking about the Holy Spirit. We need to have the witness of God's Holy Spirit in our life if we are going to go on into chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. And I believe that Jesus Christ needs to be lifted up as the number one thing in the Church of Jesus Christ. That he needs to get all the glory and the praise. It's not our culture. It's not our religion. But it's a religion and it's a culture based on Jesus Christ. And he should be the one who's getting the glory for it. And then he talks about, and love one another as he gave us commandment. The commandment that he gave to love one another is different than the Old Testament commandment. The Old Testament commandment gives us the thought that we read that in Mark, the 12th chapter, verse 28 through 30, where he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And he says, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But when Jesus came, he gave a new commandment about this loving thing, loving our neighbor. He said I'll just turn to John. I'm not sure if I can quote that. In John, yes, John 13, verse 34. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. That's quite deeper than loving my neighbor as myself. Jesus loved us even though we were not worthy of it. Jesus loved us even though he knew that some of them would never accept him. Love one another as I have loved you, that ye love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if ye have love one to another. My friends, what kind of spirit is working in my life as I relate to my brothers and sisters and to those around me? I think we need to be conscious and very open and aware that the devil is trying many times to destroy our life and destroy the life of the brothers and sisters, destroy the life of the church, Christendom, by how we relate one to another. And it's interesting that here in this scripture, he tells us, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandment, and dwelleth in him, and he in him, hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. I believe that goes right into relationships in the church, into relationships in the home, relationships with our neighbor and everyone. One of the things that I think that we do not reckon with at times is simply this thing of that there are voices that are trying to get our attention. And we need to stop sometimes and we need to analyze what is happening. I read an account of a fella, of someone that had cancer, and he was on the operating table, and supposedly he died. And he had this vision. And he found himself in a place where he did not want himself to be, and that was with those demons and the devil and so on. And he was sort of in like in a room, and he could look out through a crack down into the world. And he saw what his associates were doing, his friends were doing. Some were in all kinds of sin, some were drunken, and some were doing things that were not right and good. And he just about couldn't stand it, that nobody's telling them that they should change from this, from these sins, to not come into this awful place. Then the devil showed him something interesting. And I don't know, is that exactly the way it is or not? But he said how his helpers or imps helped him get people where he wants them. Now these imps of the devil cannot be seen by the natural eyes on earth. But being in hell, I saw it all. I have no words to express what I felt. Those imps are small and can move as quickly as mice. They are like little dwarf men. They can sit on your shoulders and whisper temptation in both ears. They do anything the devil tells them to do. After they get you to believe any wrong and do it, the devil calls them off as long as he has you coming his way. I don't know if it is that way or not, but there's something happening. The devil is jealous. If you try to be good or reform or start toward a Christian life, he sends his imps at once to work on you and sends more imps to tell you more things to do. I saw all these things as he showed me the imps working on different people. Oh, the awfulness of it all. Words fail to express it. The people on earth do not know this is being done. Oh, if they only knew it as I saw it, they would cry to God for salvation and be spared the pangs of hell. My friends were going on with the great crowd of people moving on toward this same place in which I was. I wanted to call out and scream to them. Tell them for God's sake to stop and turn back. Not enter here. The devil standing there with his captain said, "See, that one, and that one, and that one. Send imps out to work on them or we'll lose them. They are beginning to turn to God." Then the captain would give orders to the imps, and out they would go to their work. I saw all this and how they do it. If you could see it in the world as I saw it, they would not get you so easily. Oh, that people only knew how deceitful and cunning the devil is. They would call on God for help and be saved. I don't think we reckon with the fact that we have to do with two voices in this world many times. And we just do it, and we don't think what we're doing. And there's one thing that I got rather excited about. It says here, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Pure plural. But God has only one spirit. Praise God. We don't have to figure out a whole host. We don't have a thick book here with all the different spirits that God has. It's just one spirit. And that's the simplicity of the gospel. Amen. And we can read in God's holy word about the spirit, the fruit of the spirit. You find that in Galatians, the fifth chapter. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, it's peace, it's long-suffering, it's gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and long-suffering. And he says, against such, And he says, if we walk in the Spirit, let us also live in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. My friends, I believe God, if we want to discern what type of spirit is working in my life, I think we should have that verse memorized. I think we should have that branded in our hearts and in our minds, what the good spirit is. It's only one. But the devil comes to us with all sorts of different things. But we have only one thing that we need to get a hold of, and that's God, and that's his word, and that's just simply the fruit of the spirit. I believe that will help us to discern what the good spirit is and what the bad spirit is. Amen. 1 Corinthians 13, he talks about that. What love is. And he says, now abideth faith, hope, charity, but the greatest of these is charity. I love that scripture in John 16:13. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. Praise God. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. You know, this thing, coming back to this thing of being led by the Holy Spirit, or being influenced by those little imps that sit on our shoulders at times, we are in this world. And even though Christ is much stronger than those little imps ever can be or ever will be, but the Bible tells us to put on the whole armor of God, because he tells us we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are in a battle. And yet, as I said in the beginning, I don't think God wants us to live in fear. He wants us to live in peace and joy. But we need to listen to the right spirit, and we need to try him. That's what the Bible says. We need to get awake and figure out what's driving my life, what am I doing, and what's happening in my life. In Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verse 15, as I thought about this, I can't help sometimes to think things that I shouldn't. Sometimes I say things that I shouldn't about people. And sometimes I entertain thoughts that I shouldn't. But there's something wonderful about the child of God if we are willing to listen to the right spirit. In Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. That word rule has the same word as a referee. Well, you know, when they're playing their basketball games or football games, they have a coach that's standing there, and when something goes out of bounds or some rule is broken, he puts his whistle to his mouth and he blows it, and the game has to stop, and they have to get back and get reorganized and get in line again. And that's exactly what happens with us. How many times have you talked about a brother or sister, and later on you thought, oh my, why did I ever say that? You lost your peace. That's the referee blowing the whistle. Peace is the condition of the heart that's right with God. But when we lose our peace, it's telling us something's going on in my mind or in my heart that's not right. Have you ever made decisions or bought things or did things that later on you just struggled and struggled? And I'm here to say that I don't think that God is expecting perfection from us, but he expects repentance from his people. And when he blows that whistle, I believe we need to be sensitive to that thing that we've lost our peace. And when we've talked over somebody, sometimes it means going back and apologizing to the person that we said it to. Or either way, we need to get on our knees and we need to cry out to God for forgiveness and the blood of Jesus over our sins, and to fill us and cleanse us and fill us with his Holy Spirit. But we plod through life oblivious sometimes to what's happening and who's speaking to us. But God has put a referee into our heart, into our conscience, and that is peace. And even that, Bible tells us God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. How many of us have already struggled with this thing of the assurance of salvation? Are you aware that it's those little imps that are whispering in our ear? Have we thought about it? Especially if we've opened our life before God as an open book and we don't know of anything. My friends, we need to get back to the Word of God, where it tells us that his blood has atoned for our sins. We have peace. Now we have peace through God and our Father. Like it says there in Colossians, or is it Ephesians? You know what? Maybe somebody has a good scripture in relation to peace, the forgiveness of sins. Anybody? That we can get a hold of when those little imps start whispering in our ears. We are justified. See, how does... some reason I haven't thought of this, but...
Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Amen. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Any other scriptures that you can think of? Pardon?
My peace I give unto you.
My peace I give unto you. God wants to give peace. And if we don't know what's wrong in our hearts, we got to get back to the Word of God. And we got to base our feelings and our thoughts on God's holy truth. And recognize that there's an evil spirit that's putting thoughts in my mind that shouldn't be there. Amen? We base it on what God says. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, brothers and sisters, we need to take stock sometimes what's going on in our life. And may I say this? The Bible clearly tells us in 1 Corinthians, or I should say, I don't want to say I say it, but God is telling us, in 1 Corinthians 2:12, now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God. Which things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But here is the difference. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And so without the new birth, without Jesus in our lives, it's going to be an impossibility to not fall into the trap of these evil spirits. There's nobody that's strong enough, but they somehow deceive people to think that they're in charge when really they aren't. In fact, the Bible tells us that the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, and so on, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, whom they are taken by his will. The devil just leads them around like if they got a ring in their nose with a chain, just leads them around anywhere, but somehow they think they're in control. Uh-uh, my friends. They are deceived by these spirits that are out there. And now, so if you're born again, no man can pluck you out of God's hands. When we are open and transparent, broken, and we have the Holy Spirit as a witness in our hearts that he lives in us, we have that hope of eternal life. Been born by the blood of, been born in our sins, washed by the blood of Jesus. Now, I'd like to notice just a few practical things here. In 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 7, as we think of being led by his Spirit. You know, we have the Jehovah's Witness, we have the Mormons, and I hope you understand that I'm not here to look down on them. I think there's many wonderful people in there, but I do have a burden for the doctrine that doesn't uphold Jesus as the answer, as the number one. In 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 7, he talks about the church. And it enters into this thing about brotherly love that we read about in 1 John, the 3rd chapter. That commandment, loving one another as he has loved us. And then he goes in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 5, there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But then in verse 7, It tells us what kind of spirit is leading us in church life. It tells us the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. In German, it would tell us this way. It says, if you say that you have the Holy Spirit of God, it's going to be a benefit to the whole church. And I got to thinking about that. Wasn't that Christ's prayer that we may be one as he is one? That the world may know that Jesus was sent. Isn't it a miracle and isn't it a wonder that people from all different kinds of communities, cultures, nations can come together and can worship together and call themselves a brotherhood? That's a miracle. And you work together in unity. If that is truly, and it is truly what Jesus said, that he wants unity in the church to show the world that Jesus has come. Is it any wonder that that's the thing that the church gets attacked at the most by the devil? The old enemy, he has figured it out or tried to figure it out. He knows that the testimony of the church will go down when we become disunified. And so people don't think about Jesus anymore. And that's his job. That's what he wants to do so desperately, is that we don't, that the world doesn't know who this Jesus is. When the Holy Spirit is in my life, as it says here, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man for church benefit. That's what the German says. I love it. When I'm led by the Holy Spirit, I will not be dividing. It enters into every aspect of our life. Personal, home, the church. But what do we do if we struggle? What do we do if I just really, really struggle with something? Brother told me here something recently that I've really thought about. He said, it seems like we say that until we can be unified, then I can love. In other words, if everybody agrees with me, then I can really love. But until then? But you know what? We're getting the horse before the cart. Have you ever seen a horse hitch behind a cart? Very seldom. If it wants to work, if it needs to work, it has to be in front of the cart. What is the most important thing in the Church of Jesus Christ? What is the greatest commandment? It is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and our neighbors ourselves, and the new commandment, to love as Christ loved us. We need to have that relationship with God and the love of Jesus in our heart, and then we can have unity. But I want you to think about it. I think we have tried to have unity and then love many times. Think about that. Do you draw with your contribution to the church? I had to think of this couple. I think it's in this book, Am I My Brother's Keeper? There was a decision that the church was going to make. And this brother, older brother or middle-aged brother, I don't know, was a younger brother. He just didn't feel very good about it. Seemed like the whole church was agreed. So what did he and his wife do? What would you do? They got on their knees. They prayed and they fasted. And they brought it to the throne room of God. And left it there and loved their brothers and sisters. As time went on, things came about that the church reversed the decision, probably never realizing that there was a brother that was being led by the Holy Spirit and that drew the church together instead of going around and getting a following. Who am I? I'd like to ask you the question. Do you know of anybody That's a brother or sister that really draws things together in the church. Just a pleasant to be around, encourages each other, and just draws. That's the Holy Spirit. But we don't have to look far. We look into our own lives, and I'm afraid that I have in the past listened too much to those voices on my shoulder and have taken a wrong approach and didn't stop and think, who is speaking into my life? Try the spirits. Open the Word of God. Look at brotherhood relationships. Look at what the commandments are that God has. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal for the church benefit. Brothers and sisters, let's empty ourselves of our selfish ambitions in the home, husband and wife relationships, relationship with the family, with our neighbors. Just empty ourselves and ask Him every day to cleanse our hearts and fill us with the Holy Spirit. And let's get familiar with how that Holy Spirit looks. Would you be willing to commit yourself today to every evening, every morning, just bring your sins before God, that He would wipe them clean, and just plead that He would fill you with His Holy Spirit and with His love to Him? Could you make a commitment that you want to know this Jesus more? Would you make a commitment that you want to love the Lord your God with all your heart? Just walk with Him, talk with Him, learn of Him, and just get closer to Him somehow. That's how church life blooms and blossoms, under the direction and power of the Holy Spirit, and our relationship to God and a love to each other. Have you ever thought, have we ever acknowledged that gossip is a tool of the devil? How many of us have been hurt by gossip? Don't raise your hand, but I have. And it tells us that, especially from someone that's close, it goes into the innermost parts of our hearts. I don't know of anything that goes about deeper than when you feel like you've been double-crossed, discourages you, and makes you feel like giving up, is when you find out that people have been talking about you. Friends, that comes from the devil. I remember so well when I moved into Swanton, a brother came to me and he said, you know what? He said, this certain brother, he said, he really is such a contribution to the church. And he said, I just really appreciate his spirituality and so on. And you know, it had a profound effect on me how I looked at that brother. I tell you, that's Holy Spirit working for the church benefit, isn't it? When we have good things to say, I never cease to be amazed of how, when I say something negative or positive, or somebody says something negative or positive to me, how it colors my perception. It puts like, if somebody says something negative, it's sort of like putting sunglasses on my face. And I tend to look at that person through those lenses. But if he says something good, it's like just like real glasses where you really, really have a good feeling about it. Galatians 6:1 tells us, and friends, we all make mistakes. And maybe you've thought of some mistakes this morning that some of your brothers or sisters have made. I did, and I had to repent of it. Bible gives us some direction. Galatians 6:1, he says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. But those imps are on your shoulder as well. But the more we get to know God's word and walk with Him, the more God can flash those things in our mind when those imps are talking. Amen? Let's get close to God. Let's get close to His Word. Ephesians, the second chapter. I need to wind this down a little bit here. And I hope you don't weary of it. But Ephesians, the second chapter, talks about another spirit. Verse 1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Worldliness is also fueled by a spirit. Am I right? I've traveled quite a bit this last while, going through different airports. And I don't know if there's anything when you fly, go through airports, is there any other place where you see as many people? The opportunity to look at people, watch people. And I've asked myself the question already, how do I know that a person is a Christian? And then I ask myself the question, how do they know I'm a Christian? Here, some time ago, I was at an airport, and I noticed that there was a group of people there sitting behind me, and they had a Bible verse written on the back of their T-shirt. I decided, you know what? I think they're trying to be a Christian. Once in a while, someone walks through the airport, just neatly dressed, modest. There's just something about them that you can see it. And the funny thing about, I say the funny, but this the thing that can really get us, as Mennonite churches, we have standards, and I appreciate them, and I think that we really do need them. But there can be a selfish, proud heart, somewhat in the standard, but trying to bring glory to self instead of to God. We need to analyze, why am I doing what I'm doing? I'm not here to tell you what kind of standard you need or don't need, but I'm here to tell you, but God wants to tell us. In 1 Peter 3:4, he says, "But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of a great price." You know, humility, meekness, sobriety, this thing of modesty, it speaks volumes. And those old imps, those little imps, don't want anything to do with that type of stuff. And they try to tell me what to do when I want to make choices with my hair, with my clothes, shoes, my business, my vehicles, and all those type of things. But what kind of spirit? Am I really trying the spirit and calling it for what it really is? Oh, brothers and sisters, God is calling us to do that. God has given us His Word. He has given us His Holy Spirit. He has given us salvation. He has given us a church. And I'd just like to close with that scripture. In Ephesians 4, he talks about he gave different gifts to different apostles, prophets, evangelists, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Brothers and sisters, is this church helping us to know God better? Unto a perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And notice what he says next, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, the trickery of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There, the devil has traps set for every one of us here. But God has given us the church to help us through some of these things. And I think sometimes a low view of the church gets me into a lot of trouble, not realizing that I also need my brother and sister to be a conscience in my life. In fact, the Bible tells us In Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know that it is not within man to direct his steps. God has given us everything. And when we follow those things, the devil cannot pluck us out of his hand. Are we willing in the coming days and weeks to just open the Bible, analyze some of the things that are happening, and just be open to God and listen to the referee? It's an inbuilt thing that when I lose my peace, something has happened. And it happens again and again. We're human, but we can repent, my friends. We can repent, plead the blood of Jesus, and ask to be filled with his Holy Spirit. And he'll do it. And he gets us on track again. May we continue to serve him, and may we, without fear, try the spirits, not become overcome with these fears, but let's just go on in life. The joy, the peace, the long-suffering. But when we lost our peace, it's God's way of telling us, whoa, stop, there's something wrong. And his mercy is there when we repent. May God bless you and keep you. Shall we come before him in kneeling prayer?